Thank you for joining us for this edition of the G3 Podcast. I'm Virgil Walker. I'm here with Scott Annual today. Excited for another edition of the G3 Podcast.
You know, let me interrupt you in a second.
Yeah.
I'm interested for the episode where you say, I'm really not excited about
this. I'm not excited about this. We've always got a great show.
Absolutely.
And it's always exciting because I look.
We're excited around here a lot.
We're excited around here a lot. I come in excited, right?
Yeah, well, you do.
So I love what we talk about. I love talking with you, man, about the subjects that we engage in. And so as we're thinking about podcasts, thinking about the day and time, I know you've written on the Holy Spirit. We did an episode a while back about that piece.
Yep.
We are always thinking, what are we writing about? What are we thinking through? What are we concentrating on? One of the things that I'm trying to do this year, I'm hopeful that it'll all come together. You've encouraged me to write blog articles with the goal of putting them together in a book form.
Yes.
Subject matter.
You heard it here, folks.
Yeah, he did.
Virgil has just committed to writing a book.
So I'm working through that process, and as I thought about, you know, what am I writing about currently? One of the things that came to mind are issues about ethnicity, particularly as this month we're in the month of February, Black History Month. Having a time to kind of reflect on that, to think through that, how do I feel about it? What is it, a positive thing? Where did it come from? Even those kinds of ideas I began to kind of flesh out. Had to go back and look. I remembered that this started as Negro History Week, right? Created by a guy by the name of Carter G. Woodson. He was a noted historian, scholar, academic. Really, his goal in the heart of it all was, coming from slavery, having been educated at a number of different great institutions, he just wanted to see more Black people, I think, in his history books, which, again, during the time, this is during 1926.
Mm-hmm.
I think perhaps his ideas were valid. The next thought that I had, Scott, was I wanted to go back and look, like, where did his idea for Negro History Week gain acceptance?
Yeah.
And what I found was that it gained acceptance in the kind of the halls of academia,
okay,
in institutions. And so they were the ones who thought, oh, this will be a great idea. We'll celebrate these ideas, these things, and kind of segregate and separate this out for a week. He put it, the week between kind of Abraham Lincoln's birthday and Frederick Douglass's birthday.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the second week of February.
So I hear that. And from one perspective, I think, okay, because certainly there has been racism in our country and still is to a certain degree. So I hear that. I think, okay, if certain Black individuals made significant contributions and were intentionally overlooked because of racism, then absolutely we ought to include them and celebrate them.
Right.
So that's true.
Right.
The question is, do we just celebrate or include for the sake of doing it, or is there a reason? If there's a reason, great.
Right.
If is that the right way to think
I think so. I try to do a couple of things, and man, feel free. Let's talk this thing through. I try to think about, okay, where was Woodson in his line of thinking?
Yeah, okay, right.
Right?
What's his motivation
in during that time frame?
Yeah.
Hindsight, I would look back and say, well, what Woodson should have done was to amplify what Blacks did during that time and petition for it to be included in American history.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's hindsight. Mm-hmm. But when I think about his time period, I have to say probably in his mind, the best way to do that was not to try to petition to get something included. Mm-hmm. It was simply to draw attention where he could in a space that made the most sense. So I tried to giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think perhaps his intention during the time frame was a noble one.
Okay.
So in fairness to him, I try to kind of think about it that way. But what would happen over the course of time, by the late 1960s, the civil rights movement would come into play. You had coming out of that, you had kind of the Black Power movement.
Mm-hmm.
You had all of this self-identifying, what I would attribute to, especially at the point of 1970s, and then in 1976 when this actually becomes Black History Month, I would attribute the motivation there is people were high on racial idolatry. ethnic idolatry. And so the idea was, I've got to be proud about my skin color, something that most people, I mean, none of us had any say in the in our skin color.
Exactly.
And so but now we're trying to be proud about that and then amplify that. So now rather than a 2-week period of looking at historic figures, we're looking at an entire month, and a lot of what takes place in that month is just a revisitation, a remembering of historic wrongs, more so than the history changing events that took place during during the time period.
Whenever I've thought about this Black History Month or these sorts of issues,
you thought about Black History Month?
Well, not. I mean, it's you can't help it, right? I mean, you know, I've not looked into a lot of the history.
Sure.
I'm more concerned with like how it's celebrated now.
Yes.
And I've always had two concerns. And my first is, when you say black, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it could refer to ethnicity and skin color, or it can refer to culture. And my guess is it's more about the culture. And as you often point out, I mean, we're all just shades of brown.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So then what exactly are we celebrating? And then if you're celebrating culture and you end up celebrating, you know, what is culture? Culture is it is behavior. It is the way that we live, which is always an expression of religious commitments and values. Okay. Well, then are we going to celebrate things as Christians, especially, that might be part of the heritage of certain people, but are not praiseworthy?
Right.
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 And there's not praiseworthy behavior in all ethnicities.
Right.
Right? I'm not targeting one particular ethnicity, but that's what ends up happening, because when we tie, and you know, this is a topic that I have thought a lot about, when we tie ethnicity inextricably to culture, that becomes a problem.
Right. Yeah, and I agree. I think that things like Black History Month, I would argue this, one, have only served to become more divisive than united.
That's exactly my second concern.
Yeah, that's my primary concern, is that the month in and of itself is leveraged for the purpose of division, and that its existence continues to create division.
Yeah.
Rather than the inclusivity that I think perhaps Woodson and others intended to have their week, you know, long celebration engage in. So rather than having the idea that, hey, these are black individuals who were historic, you know, he did some historical things, and we need to make note of those and then begin including those things into the fabric of all of American history.
Yeah.
It's just this segregated, separated month where we identify the rights and the wrongs that took place during a period of our historic, you know, narrative in America, and we pontificate about that.
Yeah.
The other piece is, secondarily, I think the same way you do about this as it relates to culture and ethnicity. And we get laughed at because of the fact that we want to separate culture and ethnicity. My ethnicity is never it's not going to change.
Right.
it is what it is. It's not changing. Culture can change. Mm-hmm. Culture does change.
Yeah.
There are facets, and the other thing is, you could make the argument that there are a lot of black people who do certain things culturally, but it's not tied to their DNA. It has nothing to do with the level of melanin in their skin. It has everything to do with the practices and behaviors that are a part of their surroundings.
Yeah.
And so those are things to think about.
Yeah, and of course, the standard for us, always, especially as Christians, of course, always has to be Scripture. Mm-hmm. How does Scripture address those sorts of things?
Absolutely.
On the one hand, it is not wrong to be proud of your heritage, to be proud of your ethnicity, right? Mm-hmm. Paul, you know, valued being his Jewish heritage. Mm-hmm. And that caused him to weep over them and pray for them and want them to come to faith in Christ. But again, that's different from behavior, and especially when it comes to the nature of what the church is, the Scriptures tend to minimize those ethnic distinctions and rather emphasize the unity that we have in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, you know, Black History Month sorts of things do the opposite. Mm-hmm. I remember one time, I think I've told this story before, so I've always taught this sort of thing in my classes when it comes to, you know, ethnicity, culture, worship, the church, that we, you know, we ought to be emphasizing our unity, not emphasizing our our distinctions, especially right. like you talked about, like you mentioned, things we can't help, mm-hmm. right? And I remember I had a black student who got it, but he said, you know, if I go back and tell this to the people in my church, they're not going to like it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think our nation and the dialogue has conditioned us in that way,
yeah.
where we want to emphasize the diversity. So it's not quite the same thing in a nation, but it is very similar, right? I mean, we have biblical, you know, precept for the church. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned this earlier. I agree completely. Why not emphasize the unity of who we are as Americans mm-hmm. and acknowledge the bad things that have happened in the past?
Right.
And if there's any current racism, call it out.
Absolutely.
And if in our American history in the celebration, black individuals who made major contributions have been deliberately overlooked and eliminated— mm-hmm. bring them in, but bring them into the unity right. of the celebration of being an American.
Absolutely.
Don't kind Absolutely. Of segregate our country Absolutely. Off into these Absolutely. Disparate groups.
Absolutely. I think you mentioned the student that was in your class. I feel for many black pastors, mm-hmm. many pastors who are black as they go into predominantly black churches, mm-hmm. because every one of them that I've talked to feel that tension. Mm-hmm. It's the tension between the unity that they feel in Christ with their white brothers, their Hispanic brothers, the whole beauty of God's created order, right? That they feel, and the natural innate distinction that has to be made in quote unquote black church, mm-hmm. Whether it's musically, whether it's ceremoniously. And what I mean by that is I had a dear friend of mine, black pastor there in Omaha, Nebraska, one of the whitest cities ever, right? He's a black pastor, and the folks that are there at his church were upset at him because he did not celebrate Black History Month from the pulpit. He did not celebrate Martin Luther King Day from the pulpit. When issues of social justice approached, he was not at the forefront of pushing the envelope and stirring up people's outrage as it relates to, you know, the cultural narrative.
Yeah.
And so there's this constant tension of how much do I capitulate to what's quote unquote blackness and stay in harmony in fidelity to what the scriptures say.
Right, right.
There's this constant tension. I feel for those. I've just abused myself. I absolutely reject that I have to make a choice between one or the other. I think if we have a biblical view, a biblical view of anthropology, that we're image bearers of God, that
there's
we are
one race.
That there's one race, that's the human race, that we are a multiplicity of ethnicities, mm-hmm. And that those of us who are in Christ are closer to one another, not only in the here and now, but for eternity.
Yeah.
Once I held that view, hold that view, understand that view, none of what happens out there yeah. impacts me.
That's the beauty of the gospel, is the beauty of the church. I can understand why unbelieving people would get caught up on this.
Absolutely.
What's more concerning is when Christians get caught up on up in this, right? I mean, there is diversity in the body. I think 1 Corinthians 12 is the answer to all of this, mm-hmm. where I think about, you know, the first half of the discourse there, Paul emphasizes that the Spirit gives a diversity of gifts
right.
to different people, right?
Right?
And you could apply that and say we have a diversity of backgrounds and heritages mm-hmm. and all of this. But then he brings it down to say, despite that diversity, we are one, mm-hmm. right? We all have been baptized by one Spirit into one body,
yeah.
right? Whether Jew or Greek, male or female, right? So he intentionally diminishes those distinctions. Mm-hmm. They're there, and they're for a purpose. There's value to the distinctive giftedness of a body, because then we all serve one another. Mm. But you don't, like, if you want to use the metaphors that he's using there of a body and members of the body, you know, you don't have, Finger History Month. Like,
right.
you don't separate
right.
off this kind of
right.
member of the
right.
body
right.
in distinction. No,
right.
you celebrate the body. You recognize the value of the diversity of that particular group, mm-hmm. but because of how it contributes to the body and it builds up the body, right? So he's obviously not, I mean, he does mention ethnicity in that text. He's more talking about giftedness.
Yeah.
But this is what we need to emphasize in our churches. This is the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of how God designed the church.
Absolutely. I think when people land there, at least I can speak for myself, but scripture also validates this, that we absolutely begin to experience the pure freedom and joy that's actually intended for us in Christ. Mm-hmm. There's no weight or weightiness to appealing to some group on the basis of some tribalistic ideology. Mm-hmm. I'm free to be all that God intended, using the gifts and talents that He's given me in the very context in which He's provided, without blushing or being embarrassed or needing to be validated by someone.
Yeah,
that's absolutely freeing, and that's how we should operate.
And we would be just as questioning of a German heritage Christmas,
right.
History Month. That's my heritage. Right. We're a British history. Why? Right. Let's celebrate us together. And by the way, you mentioned, church members who might be upset that the pastor is not acknowledging Martin Luther King or Black History Month from the pulpit. We are just as cautionary of celebrating Independence Day from the pulpit.
Right.
I mean, we enjoy Independence Day. Yep. We enjoy celebrating our nation as a unit.
Yep.
But that when we're in the church, we're an embassy of another kingdom.
Absolutely.
We can thank God for our country. We can thank God for our heritage. Absolutely. But the church is not the place for those sorts of emphases, because that's not who we are as the church.
Absolutely.
And so we should make that clear, right? Yeah. It's not that we're just against Black History Month.
Right.
We're against celebrating all Americans, all who have contributed to the greatness of what has made this nation. Absolutely. We're questioning the segregating off of any ethnicity or group,
right,
which then just exacerbates the problem.
It, I mean, all that's done is it's amplified all of these segmented holidays that people can really no longer keep up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hispanic History Month, Pan-African History, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's segregating and separating. I'm like you. I want it all. All of it is a part of American history. Mm-hmm. And we need to celebrate that regardless of the individual's ethnicity who did whatever historic thing that they did.
Yep.
I think all of us can benefit from watching someone have obstacles placed in front of them and then overcoming them.
Mm-hmm.
Often when you read those stories, they've overcome them because of as a direct result of the faith that they had in Christ.
Yeah.
That's more time and time again, you'll read of people who've overcome great things and they did so because they weren't focused on the immediate issue at hand. They were focused on the faithfulness of the God that they served. And usually that's the God of Scripture.
I think about my, growing up, and I was in a Christian school with curriculum that had been developed by Christians. And I remember looking back that in history, key Black individuals being part of it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think one way or the other, there's a Black guy involved in this, right? It's just this all part of our history. Mm-hmm. Why do we have to segregate them off?
Right.
Now, again, if you're intentionally overlooking them, that's wrong. Let's include them. Mm-hmm. But why can't we have curricula and teaching and all of this that includes the wholeness of what has come to this point in our nation and celebrating it all?
I agree with you. Final thought, I remember being a kid in school, elementary school. We're all sitting around, and then it really wasn't a focus like Black History Month, but it was that time of the curricula, year where they focused on Black culture or whatever that was. And, I'd be the lone one or two or three Black kids in the class, and, they'd read some paragraph about slavery or about, Jim Crow, and everybody be looking at me to see, was I going to freak out or pass? And I'm just like, that's unnecessary, right? I totally understand the need to look at history and see what took place during slavery or during the time of Jim Crow. But segregating that out to only take place during the course of a given month, I think is something that's no longer needed. Going back to Woodson, I think his intention, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, going back to his time period, where he was, what
that's
he was thinking. I think well intentioned,
mm-hmm.
perhaps on his part. And then by the time of the 60s and civil rights and, you know, all of what took place thereafter, Black Panther movement, right? Shortly thereafter, you get a lot of folks who are thinking about not really social justice, as much as, oh gosh, what's the guy? He was the father, James Cone.
Oh, yeah.
And his ideas around, you know, Black theology and the like. You had those pushes that were happening, in a lot of realms, and it became an idolatry, if you will, of ethnicity that was no longer needed. So any last thoughts that you have as we kind of wrap up this subject?
No, the only other thing that popped in my head just as you were talking there is how this has influenced theology too, mm-hmm. right, where we get Black liberation theology and these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So it's just evidence or an illustration of the way that these secular ideologies and ways of thinking have infiltrated even the church, and then it leads to heresy, not just division, which is problematic,
yes,
but actually heretical teaching.
Absolutely, absolutely. Which is why I think it's important for us to talk about
absolutely.
In this space and place mm-hmm. and to be on guard for it. That said, we're hopeful that you've been edified by our conversation. This is a rare place where you come and hear, you know, everything from rich theology from old to current day issues. But man, we love to cover that stuff here on the G3 podcast. If you like what you heard, we're going to ask you to like, subscribe, to share with others. We're going to encourage you to download the G3 app. We've got tons of great resources that are a part of that G3 app. We're putting brand new stuff on the app every single day. We just dropped, not only did we drop the Cessationist mm-hmm. movie, but there's some other stuff from Media Gratia are on there.
Media Gratia resources, Logic on Fire, the documentary about Martin Lloyd Jones. We've got some things coming from Reformation Heritage books, audiobooks, ebooks, as well as documentaries and teaching series. So a lot coming. A
lot of great stuff. You'll definitely want to subscribe. All of that helps us. One, the value that you're going to receive is far above the $5.99 cost per month that you would end up paying. And we're going to continue to add great resources, teaching resources, educational resources, and the like. We'll continue to add that. But it also partners you with us here at G3 Minute. We're forever grateful for your partnership. It allows us to pay for and purchase and work on other great resources that we want to provide for you in that space. That said, again, download the G3 app. Go to plus.g3men.org in order to receive the app. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the G3 podcast. On March 19th and 20th, 2024, Praise Mill Church, right here in Douglasville, Georgia, will host the G3 Biblical Worship Workshop. Pastors and other men who have a shepherding role in the planning and leading of worship in the local church, and those who have their sights set on serving in worship in the future, are invited to join us. Unlike a conference, this workshop is designed to be an intimate and interactive setting where attendees can learn, ask questions, and engage in practical process of planning and model service based on the foundational principles we learn in our time together. Our speakers for this workshop include Josh Bice, Scott Annual, Laramie Minga, and Matt Sykes. We believe that worship is not just about the music or the style, but heart transformation as we glorify God through singing. Don't miss the G3 Biblical Worship Workshop May 19th and 20th here at Praise Mill Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia. Go to g3men.org and look for our events page to register.